Week three was full of rivalries and hot temperatures as the heat was turned up all week, and many Upper Cumberland teams had to alter their practice schedules and preparations to combat the rising temperatures of this late summer season. But it didn't stop some of the biggest games of the season from kicking off under the Friday night lights. We had the Battle of Highway 111 between the Cavaliers of Cookeville and the White County Warriors, the Battle of the Bell between Jackson County and Clay County, the Crosstown Battle of Stone Memorial and Cumberland County, and the long-standing rivalry between Livingston Academy and Smith County, just to name a few of the big matchups this week. It's a week that revolves around high school football from Monday to Friday night in communities all across the Upper Cumberland and brings out school colors and school pride. We love our neighbors from rival schools, just not as much when we play them. That's what school pride means, and it runs deep right here in our backyards. So let's look at the outcomes of those games. Jackson County defeated Clay County 24-14. White County scores with under a minute left in the game to win on the road and defeat Cookeville 28-21. Stone Memorial was in full control against Cumberland County and defeated the Jets 50-0. Upperman, with a nice bounce-back win on the road against Farragut, defeating the Admirals 30-7. Livingston Academy's Jamison Kendall scores three times in the game, and the Wildcats defeat Smith County 23-9. Meigs County hands York Institute their third loss of the season, defeating the Dragons 34-14. Scott County defeated Monterey 33-14. Warren County gets their first win of the season over Hunter's Lane, 41-12. Cannon County defeats Pickett County, 46-6. And the DeKalb County Tigers find themselves in overtime once again, coming out with a win over Watertown, 13-7. We'll break it down with the coaches. I'm Amos Rogan, and this is the High School Playbook. Joined now by the head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers, Taylor Hennigan, who Cavs had a defeat tonight against White County 28-21. Coach, first of all, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being here on the High School Playbook. This was a very, very back and forth game, and one that I thought that just going into it was probably the most evenly matched that I've seen between these two teams in quite some time. Tell me what you thought about coming into this game against White County and what you were expecting from them.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the last 5 years and that's the games that I've been involved with here recently. It's, you know, even when, you know, maybe we weren't quite as good or they weren't quite as good or whatever, it's been a very close game, a very competitive game. There's been some low-scoring games. There's been some high-scoring games. So, you know, we prepared for a four-quarter fight, a four-quarter battle, and, you know, that's exactly what it was. So nothing surprising as far as that goes. That's exactly what we thought it was going to be.
Going into halftime, tied 7-7, you knew that this was very much going to be a dogfight, as it typically is between Cookeville and Sparta. How did you feel going into halftime, knowing that you were tied up and what you kind of needed to make the adjustments in the second half?
Yeah, defensively, a couple of, you know, just like there normally is, just a couple of minor, you know, I guess tweaks or adjustments. You know, offensively, even, you know, halftime and now even, you know, post game, really loved the, you know, the plan, the scheme. That there was stuff there. We didn't execute it a couple times consistently enough, but, you know, I think it was more offensively, just, you know, we got to cut out a couple penalties and that stalled drives, and, you know, hit some throws or finish some runs or whatever it is. So that was really the difference in the game. Just when we needed to execute a little better, we didn't quite, you know, make the play, whether it was a dropped interception on defense or, you know, whatever it was on offense. We just, you know, we didn't quite consistently, you know, execute and finish the play like you've got to do against good teams, and that's a good team.
And obviously going into a week of preparation against a big rival is always something that you emphasize anyway. It's bulletin board material. But this week in particularly, from just a physical standpoint, the weather and the heat obviously probably played a factor in the overall preparation. Didn't really keep you from going over anything, but as far as just the normal routine, probably having to stay in shorts more than what you would normally, maybe going inside a few times, those things like that. How did you guys really have to alter what your practice schedule was based off of the extreme heat that we saw this week?
Yeah, we did a little. We are already, you know, build in the breaks, the things that are required when the heat gets, you know, to a certain level. So as far as the schedule, you know, it didn't change a ton. You know, of course, it was extremely hot, so maybe a little bit longer breaks or a couple more frequent breaks. But, we just the way that we operate on a weekly basis, it didn't alter the schedule a whole lot. It certainly, you know, adjusted warm-ups tonight. You know, I feel like both teams probably adjusted warm-ups tonight just based on the heat. And then, you know, you saw the cramping on the field for both teams. Again, a physical game and a really good game. And the heat, you know, just added another layer to, you know, the toll that it put on both sides of both teams on the field.
And lastly about tonight, and we'll get to talking about coming up next week, but I always have to appreciate the atmosphere of this particular football game. There's always a big crowd. It's always raucous. It's always obviously well attended and those types of things, but it really encompasses everything that high school football should be.
No doubt. And that's what, you know, I told somebody in an interview after the game is, of course, we're disappointed. And, you know, this is one of those games that, as a former Cookeville player and you know, now coach, this is, you know, just preseason. This is that week that you kind of look forward to is, you know, Sparta week. And I was fortunate enough to compete in it in basketball and football and, you know, now coaching in it. Even when you don't win and as disappointed as, you know, we are and it hurts and it should hurt, just that, you know, just what happened tonight, the atmosphere and, you know, just the type of game it was. I mean, that's the best thing about high school football. That's what makes high school football so great. And I will say our crowds, our fans, our students, our community, I've always supported as well, you know, not just this game, but, you know, certainly this game's a little bit added to that atmosphere, but very, very proud and very thankful for the support that we've gotten.
Head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers, Taylor Hennigan, joins us here on the High School Playbook. They will play Gallatin next Friday night at Gallatin. And so, Coach, thanks so much. We appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Now joined by the head coach of the Jackson County Blue Devils, Sean Loftus. The Blue Devils take the Battle of the Bell over Clay County 24-14 last night. And, Coach, congratulations on the win. I know that this one kind of means a little bit more to you.
It does. I mean, it's you know, what a great atmosphere last night. You know, both towns, I mean, they love their kids. They love their small town sports and stuff, and that I just want to, you know, first of all, you know, just talk about the atmosphere, and our student section was phenomenal. It was homecoming for us, and, you know, everybody just came out and, you know, was supported us last night, and we kind of leaned on them late in the game because, I mean, we didn't, we pretty much stayed on defense, it seemed like, for the whole entire game, but, you know, that was a huge game for, you know, a lot of people. You know, it's rivalry since I've been involved, you know, it's been kind of one that, over the last, say, 14, 21, 20 something years, I mean, it's been a streak of, you know, runs basically. You know, I think we won when I first started, we won the first 7 or 8 or so, and then they won the last 8, and then, you know, and so it's always good to get a win over your crosstown rivalry, and you know, it's good for our kids because, you know, these kids have not, you know, beat Salina in their high school career, and it took everybody last night, doing, you know, going above and beyond, and, you know, some playing banged up, and just still giving everything that they had, and, you know, just proud of these kids and the effort that they, you know, put on display last night.
You know, much has been said about your offensive, what it is called, somewhat of a change, where you're trying to put the ball up in the air a little bit more than what Jackson County has been accustomed to in the past, and a lot of it has been because of the quarterback that you have. But in a lot of the coaches that I've talked to that have faced you guys this season, even though you all have transformed your offense to be able to put the ball in the air a whole lot more, your emphasis is still on the run game and establishing that in order to get the ball down the field.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, we're wanting to run the football. But also, you know, we're going to take whatever the defense gives us. I mean, we have the ability to hang our hat on either one of them. And I just feel like over the last couple of weeks, our offensive line is continuing to play better each and every week. And Coach Eich, Brad Eich, you know, came to us over the summer, and he's done a phenomenal job with those guys. And he's got those guys up front, you know, playing some good football, and they're playing physical, and you know, it's a little bit the same last night. I mean, we were able to run the ball quite a bit, but we also, you know, threw it. You know, I don't know, I didn't get the stats or anything like that yet, but you know, we want to stay as balanced as we possibly can. You know, I feel like we're a team that can throw it, and I feel like we're a team that can just line up and then also mash it whenever we have to as well and run the ball. And, you know, and I feel like that's what makes us a little dangerous, is that, we do have the ability to do either in a lot of big ways and depend on, you know, not depend on like in years past where we might have been one dimensional. So it's, you got to be a little bit more creative whenever you're one dimensional, and you know, I know whenever I'm scouting an opponent and breaking them down, I mean, it's a lot harder to defend, you know, somebody that's balanced than it is to defend somebody that is, you know, one dimensional.
Well, you've got another game coming up next Friday night against Red Bull and Springs, a team that is 0-3, and they've not really been close in any game that they have played in. How do you maintain the focus of your team to not look at this as an easy win, because you got Smith County the next game, and that's going to be a much tougher competition. So how do you use this game with Red Boiling Springs, going to Red Boiling Springs, as a momentum to really kind of in some ways prepare for Smith County the next Friday?
Right. I mean, we're, you know, we're going to attack it just like we do every week. I mean, we're going to prepare. We're going to, you know, I feel like, you know, we, In the last two games, we've showed spurts of playing really well, and then we've showed spurts of making mistakes and things like that. So, you know, that's the stuff that we got to clean up. I mean, because we've got one more non-region game, and then our season is based off these next 4 weeks after Red Bulletin Week. There's a lot of things we got to try to clean up. A lot of things we got to, you know, just to go over. We missed a lot of tackles last night, and you never want to overlook anybody, and you know, we're going to approach this week just like we always do, and you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to work on and try to clean up over the next couple of weeks, and in order to be trying to, you know, we got to put four quarters together, and that's what we're going to strive for, because I don't think that. I thought we played pretty well against Clinton County in week one, but week two, we showed spurts. And even last night, we showed spurts. I mean, we scored 24 points in the first half, but didn't score again whenever we should have. I mean, we've got to be able to play for four quarters if we're going to beat, teams in our region and beat good teams and be considered a good team in our region.
Head coach of the Jackson County Blue Devils, Sean Loftus, joins us here on the High School Playbook. They will travel to Red Boiling Springs next Friday, kickoff at 7 p.m. Thanks so much for joining us, Coach. Always enjoy talking to you.
Yes, sir. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you.
Joined now on the High School Playbook with the head coach of the Pickett County Bobcats, head coach Levi Thoman joins us. The Bobcats fall to Cannon County 46-6. And coach, I know that you guys are in a building phase, not necessarily a rebuilding phase, but just a building phase to really put this program back into contention in so many different ways. And I know that your heart is just to be competitive every single game. Yes, you want to win games, and yes, you want every opponent that faces you all to know that they're in a dogfight every time that they get onto the field. But this takes time. And just kind of tell us where you're at in the progress of installing what your program really stands for, and how do you think that your players are responding to it?
Our players are responding pretty well this year with just showing up. We have about 22, so we're going to hope to get some numbers up, especially with building the junior high back up. But it's just never quit, and that's the main thing. In the past, if one bad thing happens there, the whole game's just over right then. So that's the main thing we're trying to change.
And what are some of the things that you're kind of instilling and telling them about the never give up mentality? And you know, yes, there's things that are going to go wrong inside the football game, but guess what? You got another play. There's another game. Those types of things. What is it that you're really trying to push these guys to believe in and buy into to really keep moving forward?
We really just want them to buy in. Just being a team together, like they got to buy into each other. They got to buy into us coaches, and we all got to just focus and just take one step. Just know every day, every game, win or loss, every mistake is just one step closer to getting better. And we just have to learn from everything.
I know that this off season, you all have really been trying to raise funds in order to improve the facilities and just everything in general there in Pickett County for your football team. Kind of tell us where you're at with that and what are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
We have a field house being built that we raised the funds for. It's going to have the baseball team and football team went in together fundraising for it, and it's going to have an indoor batting cage, a weight room, a new locker room, and bathrooms in it. Just a new facility here that'll be, that way we can actually have where the field house we're in now is going to be used for the away teams. That way we actually have a spot for them to change and everything too. So it's just trying to get some pride out. Just know that we're backing our boys and just trying to get some things down there for them to be proud of.
And I'm sure the community involvement and really supporting and letting the guys know that the community is behind them really helps as far as those kids buying into your program as well.
It does. The community was we did not expect. We thought we were going to have to build the field house in stages as we raised funds, and the community straight up. Just within about 2 months, we raised enough, and it's currently being built right now. So that was huge for all. That was huge for our players and for us coaches, just to see the community backing us.
That's awesome, and I know that means a lot to you all. Just as you said, looking ahead, you guys are, you've played Oakdale, you've played Sunbright. You've played Cannon County. You've seen and been able to be successful and put some points on the board, albeit, you haven't won a game, but still yet you've seen some offensive productivity on there. What are some of the things that you feel like the guys are beginning to click a little bit better in order to see some differences on the scoreboard?
One of the main things is our backs have to trust our linemen. They're so used to our line has been a huge problem in the past, and they took a step up this year, and they're actually doing their job quite successfully. But our backs are used to always having to bounce everything outside, and they're getting caught. So if they trust their linemen, and then just fixing the little things, we just have to do the small things better every game.
And defensively, just kind of knowing where your assignments are, sticking there, trying to fill those gaps, types of things.
Yeah, defensively, we have to know our assignments, we have to get lower, and we have to get healthy. At the Sunbright game, we had our two outside linebackers both get injured that game, and they should be back this coming week, but that definitely did not help our defense.
And talking about this upcoming week, you're at Sail Creek, a tough team to play. And just kind of tell us how you feel like your team is going to perform against them, and what do you expect from them?
Sail Creek is they're always a good team and a very disciplined and well-coached team. We have to just go down there and try to be out just as physical as possible. We can't slow down. If something bad happens, we just have to move on from it and just get to the next play. We just definitely have to be the more physical team.
Well, Coach, I know that Pickett County is in good hands with you. I can tell that the community is behind you. You're making some waves in some facilities, and Pickett County is going to be a team to be contended with in the very short term. So we just really appreciate you joining us here on the High School Playbook, and we will talk to you later down the road.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks very much. Pickett County head coach Levi Thoman joins us.
Joined here now by the head coach of the York Institute Dragons, Mark Pemberton, joins us here on the High School Playbook. Coach, hard game to take in the loss, and I know that this one kind of hurts you a little bit more, and you find yourself 0-3, but feel like you've got a young team and some future considerations, some future options for you that are continue to going to get better throughout the season.
Well, I think you're right. You probably hit it on the head that we do have a lot of kids that are underclassmen getting a lot of experience, getting a lot of playing time. We got maybe one guy that went both ways last night, and now we do have rotations where guys work both sides, but we've got a lot of kids that are getting on the field, and you know, we've got seven seniors, and I think one of them hurt, and maybe another one or two that don't play as much, but we got 60 kids on the team, so we got a lot of kids that have come back, a lot of underclassmen that are starters right now, so we really think the future is bright for us. We just got to keep battling and keep getting better, and you know, our schedule is extremely tough. We've opened up with three state-ranked teams in their divisions, the first three ball games, and it doesn't get any easier. I mean, we've got a good Livingston team coming into our place. I think the next three or four teams are undefeated, you know, coming in. So it doesn't get any easier. That was a result of York going to three straight semifinals before last year. You know, and last year was the scheduling year, and they can't get anybody to play, you know. They went three straight semifinals, so ended up playing the whole 4A region in that area except for Macon County. So it's non-region games. So it's a demanding schedule, which is okay. That's okay. It's going to make us better. We just got to keep our kids on the same page and keep working. And if we can do that, it's going to pay huge dividends for us down the road.
And you're talking about some of those seniors, and you don't have that many, but how much do they mean to you in a time like this, to where they, even though they are not seeing the success that they wish they could see in their senior season, their last opportunity to play high school football, and not seeing the wins that they have been accustomed to earlier on in their high school career, how do you feel like your seniors are leading the younger guys through this process of rebuilding and getting more football IQ and experience under their belt to look forward to future seasons coming forward?
I think they're handling it well. It's not a real vocal bunch. Our group of seniors is not, so there's not, you know, they're not really an outspoken group. But they try to lead by example, try to go hard in practice, do things right. And just by doing that helps us tremendously. So I really like our group of seniors. You know, obviously we'd like to be in a better position right now, but we tell them all our goals are still in front of us, you know, other than an undefeated season. So we still got things on the table that we can accomplish. And you know, so there's a lot of work in front of us, but I've been really happy with our kids. We got great kids at York. It's a great school academically. It's set up really well for the kids, and I've been proud of how our guys are hanging in there and responding and continue to work hard. It's not an easy thing nowadays when everybody's into instant gratification. It's not an easy thing to keep your head down, keep grinding, you know, but that's what our guys are doing. And hopefully that will continue and down the road in the second half or into this first five games, into the second half of the season, we'll start improving and we get into our region play.
Well, you know, York is always a difficult place to play for any opponent coming in. And you have the luxury of spending the next three games at home and not having to go for another away game until October the 2nd. So hosting Livingston Academy, Bledsoe County, and Grundy County coming in into Jamestown, that is definitely an opportunity for you guys just to really pour into your young men and let them enjoy being at home for a little while.
Yeah, that's a big bonus for us. You know, we've just got four home games. We've already played one of them. So it'll be a three-game stretch, and that'll finish our home games for the regular season. And then we go on a four-game road trip that's tough also. So So, but yeah, I think they're going to enjoy being at home the next 3 weeks. Got homecoming coming up, I think, this week. So, I'm sure our guys will battle back and they'll go to work and, you know, we see what kind of product we can put on the field.
Head coach of the York Dragons, Mark Pemberton, joins us here on the High School Playbook. They host Livingston Academy Friday night, kickoff at 7 p.m. Thanks, Coach, for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
Appreciate you guys, and thanks for what you do for high school football.
Let's take a look at the scores from last night's games. Jackson County defeated Clay County 24-14. Wright County defeated Cookeville 28-21. Stone Memorial over Cumberland County 50-0. Upperman defeated Farragut 30-7. Livingston Academy defeated Smith County 23-9. Scott County defeated Monterey 33-14. Meigs County over York Institute 34-14. Warren County defeated Hunter's Lane 41-12. Cannon County over Pickett County 46-6. And DeKalb County defeats Watertown 13-7 in overtime. Here with the head coach of the Clay County Bulldogs, head coach Bruce Lamb. Bulldogs fall tonight to Jackson County 24-14. And coach, I know that this one meant a lot to you for a lot of different reasons. Not only is this a big rival game, the Battle of the Bell, but the guy that's leading up Jackson County and Coach Sean Loftus is one of your best friends as well. So this is always a game that I'm sure you circle on the schedule.
Yeah, it's a big game. It's a big game because we needed a win more than anything. You know, and we came out and, you know, they outplayed us in the first half and just, we made some mistakes and you know, they capitalized on them and then, you know, we came out in the second half, played a lot better. Had some shots, just couldn't put the ball in the end zone. But, you know, hey, that's part of growing pains. And, you know, congratulations to Coach Loftus. He did a great job, had those kids prepared. And, you know, we got to get better.
And the way that Jackson County is playing now, I mean, you expected the ball to be in the air more than what you would probably see in other teams. It's kind of what Coach Loftus has kind of formed his offense around. And I know that it was something that you guys were game planning for leading up to the game tonight.
Yeah, we were. You know, but you know, I think the running game hurt us worse than anything, getting us on the edge, and we didn't do a good job of coming up and cutting it back inside. But you know, like I say, I'm kind of like a broken record. You know, we just got to keep get better, and you know, our kids got to keep growing and you know, make those kind of plays.
And how do you, you know, seeing your kids, you know, being 0-3, obviously not a place that you want to be at by any means, but in the locker room, trying to get the guys to not hang their heads, to keep pushing forward. How do you feel about the morale of your team and the tone of your locker room right now? And do you feel like you still got some leaders that are trying to step up and there's still a lot of fight in this team or not?
Absolutely. You know, we were down at half and you know, I guess just kind of challenged them and those kids came out and fought their tails off. And, you know, you can do some good things with kids that play that hard. And, you know, it's all going to start clicking and we just got to keep working. And if we can get a win under our belt, I think everything will change. But yeah, I don't think the morale's down. I don't think it's anything, you know, I think our kids are going to play. They're still a long season, got 7 games left. So, you know, hey, we'll just come out next week, see if we can get a win.
Tonight was it was unique because of how hot it was and really how hot it's been all week with some of the things that I'm sure you've had to alter your practice a little bit. Just, you know, can't be in pads the whole time during practice and things of that nature and just trying to make sure that the guys were taking care of their bodies earlier than maybe what they would normally do in a regular week of preparation for the upcoming game. How did the weather this week really affect you guys in trying to get prepared for Jackson County?
Well, you know, it's, like you said, it's extremely hot. We went out in shorts all week long, and you know, went in the gym a day, and just, you know, couldn't do our normal routine. But you know, and it's hard sometimes when you get out of the routine, especially, you know, with young kids. And you know, tonight it wasn't terrible. It was not bad, but you know, it affects you in every way when you don't get to prepare like you should. But you know, our kids did what we could.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us and appreciate your time. Head coach of the Clay County Bulldogs, Bruce Lamb, joins us here on the High School Playbook. Thank you, Coach, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Amos. Appreciate you, buddy.
We're here with the head coach of the Livingston Academy Wildcats, Caleb Qualls, coming off of a 23-9 win. Coach, congratulations on the win. 23 unanswered points. A little bit of a sloppy of a first half, but you guys woke up in the second.
Yeah, I mean, kind of same thing as last week, a little bit with a tail two halves. So kind of shot ourselves in the foot a lot of times in the first half. And, you know, defensively, we really only gave up the short field when they drove one on us just off a turnover, thrown two screens and thrown two interceptions. But other than that, you know, some penalties that backed us up offensively and just missing a few things. And it was more motivational and nothing too much schematics at second half at halftime, trying to make some adjustments. So like we said last week, it's another testament to our guys to come out and continue to play. And we felt like we were the more well-conditioned team again in the second half. So we obviously need to clean things up. We can't put ourselves in a hole, but all in all, super excited for the group and, you know, happy we were able to score 23 in the second half. And, you know, could have punched one in again late. And defensively, I don't think we hardly gave up anything in the second half.
As we've talked about before, Livingston this year doesn't have that marquee running back like you've had in the past. It's a running back by committee, and Jamison Kendall had the hot hand tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about Lucas Mansell having the hot hand last week and Frankie kind of putting the thing away last week. But, you know, today in the second half, we rode Jamison Kendall a lot, and he ran the ball hard and took a big hit in the first half and responded in a huge way. And, you know, he's still learning the position a little bit back there. So that's why at times, you know, we'll mix it up a little bit with certain looks we give with him. But when he got downhill tonight, you know, you've seen his speed in the second level. And so he kind of sparked us. He did. And we were able to lean on him, and he took it on his shoulders. And that's not something he's done. But, you know, he's growing up just like the rest of these sophomores. And Frankie played a big part in the run game as well, just blocking and a little bit of a decoy this week because we knew they would have eyes on him. And we had to open it up a little bit in the passing game. And I thought Logan really came to life in the second half, and receivers made some big plays.
Absolutely. Hudson Hauser for sure. 6 catches tonight, over 100 yards of receiving. Had some big chunk plays as well. Even though he's a freshman, he's a kid that you can go ahead and trust with the football.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, with his dad coaching, he's a coach's son, so we know he's going to be in the right spot. And he made the plays tonight. It was a little bit of a wrinkle into the offense that we added in with that inside slant. And so we were able to get him, you know, off the run game. Those were run plays that were called. And just by the look we got, the quarterback was able to pull it and throw it in the RPO game. So he made some big plays down the field, good run after a catch. Jackson Sims was very well blocking this week, and then Isaiah and Baylor made some big catches. Baylor made a big one late in the game on a check that we made at the line and was able to get him on the slant. I think he got it inside the one. So all those guys made plays in the second half, and really we can't find too many faults. We'll get into the film, but second half it was just a different animal and what we thought we could do coming into the game.
So Smith County rival, we know that they're always going to give us their best, and then you got to go now on the road to play another big rival of Livingston Academy, York Institute. They lost tonight 34-14 over Meigs County, so they're going to be hungry to try to get a win, especially at home against a big-time rival of Livingston.
Yeah, well, it don't matter what their record is. When Livingston rolls into town, they're going to be ready. They're doing the right thing and playing at a high level. They're just not seeing a ton of results. They've had a tough schedule to start out. So we'll have to be, you know, ready to go from the start. I know we've said that, and I know we've struggled with that the last 2 weeks, but it's going to be valuable on the road because we're not going to have the big crowd like we did that kind of willed us a little bit more into the second half. So two of our oldest rivals, the two teams that we've played the most, we just happened to get them back-to-back. One's at home, one's on the road, so it's going to be a big crowd. You know, we had a huge crowd tonight, and like I said, thankful for that, thankful for the community and the way they've showed out, and hopefully we'll travel up the mountain because it'll be a big one.
Joined now by the head coach of the Upperman Bees, Adam Kane, who the Bees defeated Farragut 30-7. And coach, got to feel good about getting a win against a pretty tough Farragut team.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good win. It was, a true sort of team win. I mean, we had a lot of, you know, contributors in terms of like carries and receptions and, spread the ball around as much as we can. And just felt like guys sort of bought into the whole team concept, and you know, we were able to overcome a really, really hot, probably 300 degree yellow school bus ride for 2 hours up there, and then we got off the bus and got in the locker room, and it was even hotter in there. So I'm pleased. We all probably lost 20 pounds of sweat during the night, but, it was good to come out with a victory.
You know, and that's one of the things that I've been talking to a lot of coaches on the show about is it's hot, and this week was hot. And, you know, really going into your preparations and practices on certain days and things of that nature, you want to install certain things, you want to try to get a little physical. I'm sure you don't want to wear your guys out, but this heat has really thrown a wrench in a lot of things of what you're able to do. What are some of the things that you had to do differently this week to get ready for Farragut?
Yeah, you know, I've been at Upperman now. This is year 9, and the kids and the families pretty much know that if we need to, we're going to push practice back. We went at 6 p.m. all week, and we're able to beat the wet bulb or whatever the test that they do by doing that. And I think the reason for that is, you know, just kind of the brand or the style that we play. I mean, we have to have padded practices to work on that kind of stuff. And so, you know, the kids were able to go home, maybe get a little rest, get a bite to eat, and then come back. And we had some decent practices this week.
And I know, talking to you last week after the loss to Greenville, I could tell you were frustrated, and understandably so. How do you feel like your team did bounce back playing against Farragut, and just trying to see how some of the things that you've been trying to teach them, is the light bulbs going off, and are kids stepping up?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, five or six kids that have seen a great deal of success over the last, since their freshman year. A couple of those kids were on the state runner-up team, and so they understand sort of what Upperman football is about, and I think they were embarrassed, to be quite honest with you, and about that Greenville deal. And that's not taking anything away from Greenville. I was just talking to my son about that game, and that Greenville was really, really good in spots where we just are very inexperienced right now, and were able to expose us in some ways that hopefully not too many other teams will be able to do. But you got to go in there and you got to sort of take your medicine, so to speak, and you got to be The coaches have to be willing to tell the kids what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear. And the guys understood it. You know, obviously the seniors and the dudes that have played a lot of ball for us completely understood it. But I do think the younger guys sort of for the first time got a taste of that sort of coaching, and you know, they bounced back in a pretty good way this week.
And just speak about, you're talking about kids wanting to play for Upperman, but knowing the competition that Upperman plays in, the region that you guys play in with mm-hmm. White County, Stone Memorial, DeKalb County, Livingston. You know, this is not a cupcake region. You were beating yourselves up just to get into an opportunity to play for a state championship. And I think that is one of the most unique things that you can see inside the state of Tennessee, that while we're not in a big metropolitan area, there is really, really good football in the Upper Cumberland. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we all get to play each other, but sometimes you take your licks and it doesn't always work out for you in the end.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have to look very far. You know, 2023, we went 14-1. We're region champs, and you know, the best team we've ever had at Upperman, and you know, just to keep advancing in the playoffs, we had to go back through Stone in the second round, and then we had to go back through Macon in the third round and barely squeak by them.
And you've got Stone Memorial next Friday in Baxter. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time, Coach.